Hello, folks. This is Vinay, your host. Welcome to the Shiny Happy People podcast. Good to have our regular listeners back. And if you're new here, welcome. I'm glad you found us. Listen to this, give us some feedback, and let your friends know that we are out there and doing some interesting interviews. Okay, so today's guest is, I think it's the first medical doctor that we've had on the interview list. We have a gentleman called Dr. Dhruv Joshi. He is a co-founder and CEO of a company called Cloud Physician, which is a healthcare company that's doing some really, really cool stuff. They provide technology-enabled remote ICU management solutions to hospitals. Now, that's a mouthful. In case you're wondering what all that is about, we are going to explore Dhruv's journey from being a doctor working in some really, really important places like the Cleveland Clinic in the U.S. He's worked at the Good Samaritan Hospital in the U.S. And he's a graduate, a medical graduate from St. John's Medical College in Bangalore. And how did he get from being a medical doctor to running a healthcare company? And what is it that they are trying to do? So that's what we're going to explore in a conversation with Dhruv right after this break. Okay, folks. So finally, we've got Dr. Dhruv Joshi here with us on the podcast. Dhruv, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinay. Pleasure to be here.
Great. So Dhruv, I really want to dig deep into your journey from being a doctor to an entrepreneur to doing some amazing work. And before that, let me ask a very foundational question. Who is Dhruv Joshi? How would you describe yourself?
Wow, that's foundational but deep at the same time. I'm somebody who likes solving problems. I'm somebody who enjoys being with people. I'm somebody that enjoys learning new things. And these are some of the things that are just core to me and keep me going on an everyday basis. More specifically, I am a doctor, born and brought up in India, grew up in Bangalore, did my early education and then did my medical education, my MBBS in Bangalore, following which I moved to the United States, did my specialization, then did my super specialization in the field of pulmonary and ICU medicine. So I'm an ICU doctor and a lung doctor. And realized that healthcare had a lot of problems that needed to be solved. And going back to who I am, like solving problems, decided to take a very big problem and try and find a solution with it with another colleague and a very good friend of mine. And so that's been my journey so far.
Wow, excellent. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And so you're the problem solver. So here's the question. What took you to medicine? Was it the because you're the classical, we want our kids to be a doctor or an engineer, right? So you went, was it that, or was it just something that you were very passionate about, medicine early on?
I think as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a doctor. And that was largely because my father was a doctor and I had looked at him growing up. And somehow that the profession fascinated me. Everything that he did fascinated me. When I grew up, way beyond when I had decided I wanted to be a doctor, I realized that my father's not just a regular doctor, but he's an entrepreneur as well. So perhaps, and I didn't really realize that when I was younger. I just thought he was a doctor, but there was the way that he did things, I guess, had an entrepreneurial streak to it. And I thought that that was part of just being a doctor, and then realized, no, there's you were actually that's a little different. But I think that's what fascinated me with the subject. And then when it came to high school and I had to make a decision, there was no doubt in my mind what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into medicine. It was clear. I know a lot of Kids my age back then were still wondering, what do we do? Do we go to the US, engineering, medicine? In my mind, it was clear I'm going to do medicine. And so that's how it all started.
Wow. And so did your father run his own practice, or was he also a pulmonologist?
Yeah, he's also a pulmonologist. He ran his own practice, and he had even set up a manufacturing unit. So he used to be in pharma and nutraceutical manufacturing as well. Outside
Wow.
of, and he also used to run a service apartment in addition to that. So he did a bunch of things.
So he was a definitely entrepreneur slash doctor, and you took after him. Huh? Okay. And so I know you got your MBBS from St. John's, and then what took you to, how did you decide your area of specialization? Was it again the same thing, pulmonary?
Yeah, no, that was a little different. I think towards the, you know, as I look back at my journey, right, at the end of med school, sorry, at the end of high school, I was sure that I wanted to be a doctor. And so then I went into medicine and I went to St. John's. And then towards the end of my training in St. John's, I was fairly disillusioned at that point in time. I wanted to do something different. In the field of medicine itself, but I wanted to do something a little different because I saw the journey of typical doctors, at least in India. And so at that point in time, I did some reflection, exploring, and then decided that, hey, I think, you know, if I go to the United States, I'll have the opportunity to learn something different, see a different way of medicine, learn medicine in a different setting. And I think that will be something that will really enrich me as opposed to just doing more of the same here in India. So that's what led to my decision to moving to the United States. At, you know, after your MBBS, you need to decide whether you want to go into surgery or you want to go into medicine.
Right.
For me, it was, again, that was a pretty easy decision. I did not want to be a surgeon. I wanted to be a physician. I wanted to be a go into medicine. I always found that to be, you know, not, I don't want it to sound demeaning to surgeons, but more intellectually stimulating, at least to me. So that's, so that led me to going into internal medicine and in the US. So that was a journey then, moving to the US and going into internal medicine. And after you finish your specialization in internal medicine, then you need to make another decision on what you super specialize in.
Super specialize, yeah.
And so that was a decision also I made pretty early in my journey into internal medicine. Within the first year or so, I knew I wanted to go into pulmonary and critical care. Again, very intellectually stimulating subjects and something that I had a great fondness for and liking for. Critical care is where you take care of patients that have their organs at an end stage of illness or disease, right? And so it covers a whole variety of the entire human body, essentially, when it's at its most vulnerable and it's most critical, is what you're taking care of in critical care. And I think it's a very interesting subject, and one in which you can make a tremendous amount of impact if you do the right thing at the right time for your patients. So I think that was how I decided that I will become a pulmonologist and an intensivist. That's a dual degree that you can do jointly, which is what I did.
Yeah. So I don't have any doctors in my immediate family, but in my extended, all my cousins seem to be all doctors. We've got everyone from oncologists to pediatricians to anesthesiologists to every other. So hang around doctors quite a bit. So that was really interesting. So you picked your field of specialization, and if I'm not mistaken, you started working at the Cleveland Clinic, right?
Yes, that's right.
What was that like? Because that's an institution that everybody tends to talk about. It seems to be in the forefront of medicine research. What was that experience like?
That was, again, a phenomenal experience. So I think when I went to the US, I started with internal medicine, and then had to work hard to try and see if I can get into the Cleveland Clinic, which happened, fortunately for me. And then spending a few years at the Cleveland Clinic was phenomenal. I learned so much, It was great to be at the forefront of clinical excellence, of clinical quality, the forefront of innovation in healthcare in many. And so I think spending that time there really gave me good insight into what the current framework of the best we can provide for our patients is.
And all of this was pre-pandemic, right? So
Yes.
it's really interesting that you picked the field pulmonology, and which to me, in my limited understanding, was one of the most critical fields during the pandemic, and even now more so with the climate change, the weather patterns changing. For those of you listening in India, we had interesting AQI in Delhi recently. And everyone was talking about lungs and breathing difficulties, et cetera. So you're right in the center of things, Dhruv, and seems to have, I don't know if you had a crystal ball or something, but you seem to have picked a field that is so important right now.
I wish I had a crystal ball, but no, I didn't. But I do think that it found itself in the limelight, especially through the entire COVID period, and is and continues to find itself in the limelight currently. Yeah, you're right.
So let's switch to your next avatar. You decided to jump into entrepreneurship, move back to India. What was the catalyst for that? How did you decide to do that?
So I think I told you that I was a little bit disillusioned. At the time of finishing my MBBS in India. And so I was like, I'll go to the US and we'll learn new things. And I did that for a few years. And then towards the end of my time in Cleveland Clinic, I think there was a little bit of sense of disillusionment again happening there, saying that, hey, so am I just going to do the regular thing and go on? And we've already done this. Also, I think, like I said, just the possibility of solving some large problems in healthcare was very appealing to me, right? And one of the things that I realized at the Cleveland Clinic was that it was the center of excellence for clinical care, for taking care of patients. But I realized the kind of resources that went into providing that excellent care was simply not something that could be replicated for a lot of patients. It is impossible to do that at a larger scale for a larger number of people across borders on a global scale. It's simply not possible. Just to give you an example, I used to work in the Department of Respiratory Medicine and Intensive Care and ICU care, and we had close to 200 ICU specialist doctors at the Cleveland Clinic, right? That's just an incredible number of doctors in a very small location. You don't have 200 doctors in entire countries. You don't have 200 doctors of that specialization in entire states of India. So that is not a, if that is, if that's what it's going to take to provide patients good care, it's never going to happen for most patients, right?
Right.
It's just not. And I think that was a realization that Dilip, who's my friend, partner, co-founder at Cloud Physician, and I realized. And even at our time at the Cleveland Clinic, we were trying to see how technology can be used to address this particular problem, right? You can't have this level of expertise that is very concentrated and a very scarce resource spread out to a large number of people everywhere. And so we were trying to do that within the network of the Cleveland Clinic. I had an exposure to that, working with my bosses at the Cleveland Clinic who were actually doing this. And we realized that, yes, this is the way in which, using technology as an enabler to reach out and provide quality care to a larger number of patients that then can just be present at that one center in the Cleveland Clinic is the way to go about it. But also being in the US, as we were looking at the solutions that were being used to solve this problem, we realized that the solutions being built are not for a global audience. They're very expensive, right? So even the technology solutions that we were using were millions of dollars just to connect, a few ICU beds in a few different hospitals outside of the Cleveland Clinic for a team at the Cleveland Clinic to help those patients in that location. And so I think at that point, Dilip and I realized that there's an opportunity for us to perhaps build a solution that can be can have applications to a more global audience, and that there was we didn't know exactly what that solution will look like, but we did realize that the answer to this problem, where most patients don't get access to the kind of care, to the kind of excellent care that they deserve and they need, especially in ICUs where they are very vulnerable and where they have don't have the luxury of time, is going to require a different solution. It's going to require for us to build and develop something that's different. So the opportunity to do that is what motivated us to move back to India and be like, let's build something that addresses this particular problem. We know that it will be technology that will be a big part of the solution of this, a big part of the solution for this problem. So let's go ahead and do it. And that's how Cloud Physician started.
So I'm hearing three things. Access to quality care. Second is building scale. And the third is affordability. Those were the three drivers, right?
You're listening to the Shiny Happy People podcast with Vinay Kumar. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. This podcast is sponsored by C2C OD, your organizational development consulting partner, bringing people and strategy together. Follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the handle at C2C OD and get updates on our upcoming episodes.
The fact that the whole, you know, you talk about the technology platforms and I completely hear you. You know, I lived in the US, I studied there as well. And just the cost of healthcare there is so crazy. And if you don't have insurance, you're pretty much done, right? Whereas in India, it's not the cost of medicine, it's the access to medicine. It's such a different thing. With the fact that there was a foundation and a proven concept of telemedicine that had already happened, there were startups working in that space in India. Did that sort of also help in your decision making?
No, I don't think the fact that there were startups in India necessarily contributed to that decision, but it was more from the sense of we had seen these technology-enabled solutions work to some extent in the U.S., right? And again, not very well and not for everyone and not ideally, but to some extent. And it was clear that that's the direction in which healthcare needs to go to address the three points that you mentioned, which was ensure access to care, ensure quality of care, and ensure that it is affordable for everyone. This construct, that these three points are actually traditionally known as the Iron Triangle of healthcare.
Right.
And this Iron Triangle, unfortunately, if you look at conventional healthcare solutions, every time you try to fix one of these problems, you negatively impact one or the other. You try to improve quality, you make care unaffordable. Try to make it affordable, and then you drop quality or make it, you know, less accessible. So I think the opportunity to use technology as a lever to break this Iron Triangle and create something that would a solution that would address all three of these was clear to us. And having been part of you know, some of the networks that had been using this to solve some of these problems with some success, limited albeit, in the US, led us to believe that this is it. This is what needs to be done. The solution needs to be better. It needs to be more scalable. It needs to be more affordable, and needs to be a better product. So let's see if we can do, if we can make that.
So you and Dhruv, so you and Dilip, buy tickets, get on a plane, come to Bangalore, start a company, and then said, let's go, right? What was that?
Yeah, no, actually, it was pretty crazy. obviously, it's not an easy decision to make, right? Most people go the other way. Usually, you don't have too many doctors from the US coming back to India. Few people do, but they're not that many. So obviously, I think a lot of people had some raised eyebrows saying, hey, what are you doing? Are you sure? Then there were people that knew me and were like, yeah, you're probably onto something. You go do whatever it is that you're doing.
What was the family's reaction when you said that?
Yeah, so Dilip was already married at that time and had a kid as well. So his wife was very supportive. Rashmi was very supportive. I was not married, but I'm married to the person that I was with, Aisha, at that time. And I told Aisha about this, and she was like, yeah, seems like you've got something, you've made up your mind, and this is clearly something that excites you enormously. So let's do it. Let's go back and do it. So it was a lot of support from our partners. My family here in India were, again, my parents were like, yeah, sounds like you're on to something. Let us know how we can help you.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, being an entrepreneur and seeing the journey, I'm sure it had plenty of ups and downs. You started it. It sounds so easy to say, yeah, we landed, we started, and now here we are several years later. But what were the first couple of first year like for you?
Oh, yeah, it was not that easy at all. When we landed, we didn't start initially. Actually, we had been away from India for a few years, both Dilip and I. So we actually spent almost a good 18 months just visiting a lot of hospitals across India, just to get a sense of, you know, what's happening, what are the problems, talk to people, see all the different settings, from the large corporate hospitals to small to medium-sized hospitals, hospitals in big cities to hospitals in, you know, semi-urban to tier two, tier three places. So we did a lot of this homework, and simultaneously, obviously, since it's a big move and you've got to now do a bunch of things, we used to do some consulting work with U.S. hospitals from India that would ensure that we had, you know, food on the table, if we put it that way. But at least that we had a soft landing, and that we had the resources to be able to do this and to be able to invest in then starting Cloud Physicians. So it was only after about 15 to 18 months of landing in India that we were like, okay, let's get started. We've seen enough and spoken to enough people, and the only way that we're going to know whether what we're creating is solving a problem is once we create it. So let's get started on that. So that's how it started, and it was very interesting. Like I mentioned earlier, my father used to have a service department in Bangalore, and so we told him that, hey, you know, we need some room. He's like, why don't you take a couple of rooms in the service department and get started there? So that's how we started, essentially in a couple of rooms in a service apartment. They were like small hotel rooms, etc. And in the initial days, then we found a hospital in Mysore who we approached. We understood they had some problems in the ICU, and we spoke to the doctor there and told him that, hey, why don't we just do a pilot? We'll help you from Bangalore. We'll use technology to help you. You don't pay us anything. We'll just do it for a few months, and then you let us know if you find this useful, then we can talk then. So that's how it Cloud Physician then started.
And it's now 6 years and running, right?
Yeah, it's 6 years and running. It was two guys in this service department, a couple of rooms in the service department, and now we've went on from those two rooms to take three and four, and then one floor of the building, then the second floor, and now we have the entire building, and now we're 200 people in the organization. So it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, and of course, looking back on it, and I'm sure this is just step one, because there's so much that needs to be done here. I'm sure there's a sense of accomplishment, but also a sense of, oh, there's so much more in front of us. What was it like, you know, that you talked about the iron triangles? How was that in terms of creating it? How did you manage to connect all the three and make sure that works?
Yeah. So what we did was, this hospital in Mysore, they had it was a hospital, a small to medium-sized hospital. They had a 7-bed ICU in the hospital. And unfortunately, the doctor there at the hospital was not able to do a lot of surgeries in the hospital because he didn't have the ICU backup, especially at nighttime and times when he was not at the hospital and he was not there 24/7. And so, unfortunately, they would, transfer a lot of patients either to Bangalore or to some of the larger hospitals in Mysore. And he was a very highly trained doctor, and he wanted to do good work and serve his patients. But he was like, I can't, because, I'm not confident of actually doing these surgeries and managing these patients, because I don't have the ICU backup that I need. And so we said that, why don't we try and solve that problem for you? We're in Bangalore, and we'll hook up your ICU. We at that point in time, it was very basic tech. We sort of went to SP Road. SP Road is a road in Bangalore, yeah, where you get a lot of technology stuff. And we shopped around to see what are the cheapest things that we can jerry rig together and put it in this ICU, such that we are able to connect and help this doctor here. And so we did that. And from Bangalore, and we talked to his nurses, we trained them, we supported them, and Dilip and I were available 24/7. So we did, every 12 hours, one of us would be available for troubleshooting all issues in the ICU from Bangalore.
Yeah.
So that's how we started. And in a few months, he started doing more surgeries. He was more confident of managing his patients. The nighttime issues started coming down because his nurses knew what to do. They had our support. We were able to pick up things faster and sooner, and so that they don't get to a point where, the patient is in a critical condition, but we are able to pick it up and address things much sooner and faster by proactively helping them in managing these ICU patients. So that's what we did for him for about 3 or 4 months. And then we were looking at how things were going during that time, because we were essentially virtually in that ICU 24/7, and we could see that the number of patients was going up, the outcomes of the patients was getting better, protocolized care was being instituted, his nurses had the support that he needed, he could sleep at night, something that he couldn't do previously. He was always worried about what's going to happen to his patients. And the hospital was also very happy, because there were more patients coming. Patients were not getting transferred to other hospitals and having to go to Bangalore from Mysore. So at the end of 3 months, we spoke to the hospital and the doctor, and they were like, let's figure out a commercial engagement here. And can you guys continue to do this?
And that is the proof of concept, and then you had that as a pilot, scaled it to others as well. And one thing that stands out, right, from a lot of the, so I don't know, do you consider yourself a med tech company? Because that seems to be the label that a lot of people say, because you're not in devices, you're more in the monitoring. How do you cluster?
People ask me this very often, and I always say we're a healthcare company.
Health tech. Let's call it health tech. Maybe.
We're a healthcare company that is enabled by technology, but we very much are in the business of taking care of patients, right? So we're not selling a device, or we're not selling something to somebody else, but we're very much part of the team that's actually managing these patients.
Yeah, and in the last 6 years or so, were you able to then, I'm guessing, obviously you don't need to share everything, I'm guessing your reach now is across ICUs in India, or all parts of India, or is it still a geographic spread, is connectivity, what are some of the challenges even today?
So we're in about 160 hospitals today, and these are across 20 states in India, and we're also outside India. We have a hospital in Bangladesh as well. And we'll have one in Kenya as well pretty soon. So our reach has spread quite a bit since those early days of that pilot. And we have taken care of over 80,000 patients. We in these hospitals, depending on what their existing capabilities are, these ICUs between 28 to 47% from their baseline, which is pretty dramatic. That's a lot of lives having been saved over these past few years. And like you said earlier, we're just scratching the surface. I mean, there are close to 70,000 hospitals in India. And I can tell you about 99% of them would not be providing the kind of ICU care that patients should ideally get.
Yeah. You know, from a classical business perspective, people talk about total addressable market, market size, all of that. It's just phenomenal for you guys. There's so much out there. And what about the operational side of it? How many doctors do you have? How do you, because that's also a challenge, right? Because on one side is you can get the hospitals, but you need to be able to provide that remote ICU medical support. How's that been? How have you been managing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was one of the early challenges in the earlier days. It was just Dilip and me who were there initially supporting that first pilot hospital, right? So we'd be on the clock. We'd be the doctor, the nurse, everything there.
You were both 24/7, essentially.
Yeah. And then we started by getting our first nurse on the team. Actually, we needed nursing support. So nursing is a huge part of a care delivery, especially in the ICUs. And so a big component of how we support the hospitals is by having a team of virtual nurses support the nursing teams at the bedside, right? So when the nurses are busy or they need help with something, where our nurses are able to help them pick up things, monitor things, make sure things are done. So it was not easy. I remember trying to hire our first nurse, and like I said, you know, there were two guys sitting in a service apartment and going to these nurses who are working at these corporate hospitals and saying, hey, you need to come and join us. And and if you walked into our office in those two rooms in the service apartment, you just see a bunch of computers and stuff, right? Some cameras and computers. And so we were interviewing nurses, and obviously
very confidence building.
Obviously, a few nurses there were like, "What's going on here?" Right? And but then we did get our first nurse, and then that nurse was then able to help us get a few more nurses, and then it came down to hiring our first doctor. And again, the same problem: there are two guys sitting in a room with a bunch of computers. Saying that they've come back from the US and Cleveland Clinic, et cetera, and they're doing this, and you need to leave your job at that corporate hospital where you have trained to become a doctor after 12 years of training and join these guys. So obviously that was not an easy sell either. But there were a couple of doctors, some of the guys that joined us early on that saw the potential in what we're doing and left their jobs at the corporate hospitals and came and joined us. And then, of course, as we got bigger and, you know, people heard about us, people understood more about the concept. It was more than just two guys sitting in a room with a few computers. It was more of a, you know, it was organization with a better office. Then more doctors started joining us. So, you know, we had more doctors and more nurses. And today we have about 35 to 40 doctors. These are ICU doctors, both for adult ICUs as well as neonatal ICUs. So we have about 80 to 90 nurses. These are all critical care nurses. So all of these people essentially joined us after having worked at some of the corporate hospitals, either in Bangalore or Mumbai or some other big city. And I think that over the last 6 years, it has definitely become much easier for us to get people now, because we've got a track record of the work that we're doing. We've got people who have been in the organization, who have seen the kind of impact that they can make, seen the kind of learning that they can have, seen the kind of growth that they can have as professionals in healthcare. Albeit in a slightly different manner of healthcare delivery, but enormous growth that they see here and enormous learnings. And so now, you know, we don't have this. We have an office in Hyderabad where we have a team of doctors there. We have doctors in Pune. We're just setting up an office in Visakhapatnam as well. So,
wow. So there's so many hundreds of questions coming in my brain to go down. How did you do the financial part? Did you bring in a CFO? But I won't go down that. But I'm just very curious, in the interest of time, to ask you, where do you see the cloud physician in the next 3 to 5 years?
I see cloud physician evolving into a global virtual hospital. that is really redefining the healthcare experience, right? That's our vision as an organization. We know that healthcare needs to be better, especially in hospitals, especially for ICU patients. And we know that this needs to happen everywhere in the world. And it is our belief that we will be the leader in making this happen. That's how I see this evolve over the next 3 to 5 years. And I'm fortunate to have a great team along, right? Like I said, we're over 200 people right now who are equally, if not more excited than I am to make this happen.
Excellent. And are you still sitting and doing those 12-hour shifts of looking at patients remotely, or have you moved further away from that part of the business?
No, I don't have, there are not enough hours in the day, unfortunately.
you don't see patients
there's
anymore.
There's too many things to do, right?
Yeah, so you don't have time to see patients anymore.
I have a very bustling family and friends practice, right, where I take care of all family and friends.
Yeah, yeah. Most of my cousins or doctors would say the same thing. They're the family and friends doctor as well. So that's true. So as long as you get your finger on the pulse of the day-to-day medicine. Okay, so one question for you. If you had to describe the last 7 years or 6, 7 years of your journey in one word, what would that word be?
If I had to describe it in one word, I'd say exhilarating.
So it's still a very, very, very positive
if
word.
If I had to describe it in a phrase, if I had to describe it in a phrase, I would say never a dull day.
Right. Yes, that is so true. And that's where, so this podcast is called the Shiny Happy People Podcast. And I'm sure in your journey, there were as many of those exhilarating moments. There were moments where you were wondering, what the heck is going on? Why am I here? Well, how did you keep yourself motivated? What's your secret for staying positive?
I think the phrase that I mentioned, I get asked many times, hey, what are you looking back? Do you think it was a good decision moving back from the US? You perhaps, you know, would have been doing different things and had a different life had you chosen that. And I tell people that, you know, there's no question in my mind that absolutely the right decision. And the reason for that is never a dull day. There's so much that I've learned. And of course, like you said, there are ups and downs and challenges and problems, and you solve them and you feel great about it. And the next day you realize that a truck hit you again, and then you get up and then you solve that. And then a bus comes and gets you from somewhere else. And, but never a dull day.
Yes, yes. Now, one thing about living and working in India, no 2 days are ever the same. There's no predictability at all. Brilliant. So Dhruv, that's been an amazing journey that you've been on, and I and my listeners will look forward to tracking your journey, Dilip's journey, the whole Cloud Physician journey as well. What do you do to read, stay on top? So we have a section called RWL, Read, Watch, Listen. What's your favorite things? And it could be something that you use to tune out on Netflix or Amazon or whatever it is. What's the kind of music you listen to?
So my wife Aisha and I have a playlist that we keep adding to, and so post dinner time we usually turn on that playlist, and every few weeks there's some new song that comes in that we like, and we keep adding to that. It's a playlist that we have on Spotify, and it's very eclectic music, but a bunch of different things. Netflix and Amazon, not so much in the last few years. I used to be a fairly big movie buff, but like I said, not enough hours in the day, I would say, in the last few years. So I haven't watched too many movies. I do read a lot.
Right.
I'm constantly reading, so there'll be a few books that I'll be in different parts of at any given point in time. One book that I read recently that I would recommend to any entrepreneur is The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz.
Okay.
great book. He talks about all the ups and downs and the hard things about being an entrepreneur and the things that you need to do. Great read. I really enjoyed it. I read a book by Ray Dalio recently that I finished called The Principles. Again, about building an organization and the journey. There are actually many books. So I'll tell you that the way that I distribute my reading is that there will be some about just management. There'll be some about sales. I'll read something about marketing. I'll read something about fundraising. I'll read something about entrepreneurship.
Right.
So there are different parts of the, there are many different books here. There's a book called Art of Start by Guy Kawasaki that I would recommend.
Yes.
Just getting started.
Yeah, yeah.
That was something that I read earlier on at the time that we were starting Cloud Physician. So these are some of the books that I would recommend, but I read a lot. I travel a lot, so on flights I'm constantly reading. Andy Grove from Intel.
Intel, yeah.
Has a book called this is a paperback that I have that travels with me these days. It's called Only the Paranoid Survive.
I know many of these books. So that was just about to ask you if you hadn't said it. Where do you get time to read the book? And when you said travel, that answers the question.
Yeah.
You gotta no, but that's brilliant. So Dhruv, really, really enjoyed having you on this. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as well. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. And we'll keep track of watching you and Cloud Physician in the news doing amazing things. Thank you for all that you do.
It was a pleasure, Vinay. I hope your listeners can take something away from my journey. And it was a pleasure speaking to you.
Wow, folks. That is some amazing work that Dhruv is doing. And I love the point that he said that he's still practicing medicine, but more as a doctor to his friends and family. That is so interesting. But I think the scale that he's building with Cloud Physician and what it can do and what it's going to do is going to be really, really important. And I love that triangle that he talked about, the iron triangle. He's also given some great references, which is in the show notes. So please check them out, folks. And do share your feedback with us. And come on back for our next episode soon. With that, it's over and out.